sharing stories that matter. Here's your Texas anchorman, Robert Pratt, with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome to Pratt on Texas and a podcast extra with our great friend, Dr. Merrill Matthews. Dr. Matthews is a scholar in residence at the Institute for Policy Innovation in the Metroplex of Texas. Their website is ipi.org, and I do recommend you sign up for their email. It's right up there at the top because his policy bites are great. But Dr. Matthews, being a scholar, he also pens some op-eds and opinion pieces that appear in some of the big publications around the country. And one of them that he had out there that appeared in The Hill, which is the big Washington, D.C. insider news, Rick Scott wants to make welfare reform great again. And when I love it, we're picking up with Trump language there, great again. And then you get Dr. Matthews, you got into talking about Tommy Thompson back in the real leader in Wisconsin, of all places. I mean, the state that chose as its state motto, forward, which was the socialist motto. You know, it was founded by a bunch of socialists back when that was the thing amongst the intelligentsia. And you reminded me of so much. You also talked about a program in Oregon you were working with or monitoring at the time. Let's just start with what you're beginning, though. Rick Scott, Senator Rick Scott of Florida, he is basically reintroducing something similar to what Newt Gingrich and our good friends, you know, from around did in the Republican Revolution when Clinton was president and the Republicans took the House for the first time in 40 years. And that's work requirements and welfare. You know, a lot of Democrats even went along with this back then. It was a different Democratic Party. But it's one of those things where they've just chipped it away and chipped it away and chipped it away to get back to the old-fashioned destructive form of welfare that simply ensures poverty and a voting base. Talk about that, and then let's look back at the history.
Right. So Rick Scott, Senator from Florida, has introduced the Let's Get to Work Act. And essentially, he's trying to impose some work requirements on various people who receive welfare. And this goes back to the 1990s, actually the 1980s. Tommy Thompson campaigned in 1986 for governor on reforming welfare. And then as he got in, he began making some changes. He imposed some work requirements and so forth, and welfare became in Wisconsin became sort of a model for the country. And I saw Republican governors at the time look at this saying, why is Tommy Thompson getting all this media attention? I want to get some media attention too. And so states started looking at welfare reform, and it became such a national issue that Republicans passed it in Congress in 1996. Bill Clinton vetoed the legislation, if I remember, twice before he finally signed it the third time through, and it became one of the most successful reform pieces of legislation that we've had because
we saw
the welfare rose decry.
Yeah, it actually worked. It was one of these things that worked, and I think it was actually part of the contract with America. The reform itself, maybe not the details. And he signed it and it worked. And then from that time, I mean, it worked, as you said, the welfare rolls dropped, and not in a cruel way for those bleeding hearts out there. People couldn't eat. It was set up in a way that encouraged you to work. And before, welfare had been set up in a way to encourage you not to be married, not to have a spouse in the home, and not to work. And now it was rejiggered and it pushed you into the workforce. And what happens is a lot of people find real quickly, the ones who'll show up to work, find out real quickly that they feel better working, that they get skills, that they begin to do better and better in life, and they leave this stuff behind. But what happened with that monumental reform? And we need to talk about Tommy Thompson in a moment, but let's just stick with the federal government from that time forward. What's happened is they've taken a hammer to it and chiseled it down back to the old model, haven't they, the Democrats?
Absolutely. And so there were three key leading welfare officials in the Clinton administration who resigned when he signed that legislation because they were so opposed to anybody having to work to receive welfare benefits. And here's the problem, Robert. When you're talking about providing benefits out there, the key issue is how do you separate those who are just there for a check, who don't want to work and just want to ride off the taxpayer versus those who have serious issues. They may need some help. They may have a drug dependency. They may have lost their skills. How do you separate those? And one of the ways you do it is you say, you're going to have to go to work. You're either going to find a job or we're going to find a job for you, but you're going to have to work. And when you do that, people sort of self-separate. If I got to go to work, okay, well then I'll go find a job. I don't need you to help me find a job. And you start being able to focus on the people who need the care. In fact, the New York Times had a piece about Oregon, and I'm thinking this was around 1999 or 2000, and it highlighted what was happening in Oregon because it said the welfare workers were finally able to get to what they called the drawer cases. And the drawer cases were people who came in needing welfare, and they had so many challenges that the welfare worker would say, this is going to take too much time. I'm going to put it in the drawer and get back to him when I have some time. And they never had the time. They finally were able to start getting to those people who really needed the help and get them able to get back to work.
Let's talk about that Oregon thing. We'll talk about Tommy Thompson in a moment, because anybody that's been involved in Republican politics, you know, as long as I have, remember Tommy Thompson, you know, one of the heroes of making this, fixing this stuff a little bit. The kind of guy that even the moderates and rhinos could like, because it fit their model of, hey, we're all for big government. We just want it to be more efficient. And Tommy Thompson really did something that everybody then began to glom onto. But in Oregon, you talked about this program, and didn't they call it something like the full employment program or something?
Right. They called it the full employment program. Essentially, what was new there was they told people if they came into the welfare office, you were going to have to go to work. If you can't find a job, and that's where a third of them said, well, if I got to go to work, I'll go find my own job. And then about a third of them would need some help finding a job. And what they did was they lined up businesses and they took the people's welfare benefits, and that became their wages. And then they went to the employer. The employer had to create a new job. Couldn't be somebody they were letting go in order to do this. Create a new job and let the person come in. They trained them on the job because they felt like the only real training was on the job training, and that people use training as a way to avoid going to work.
Brad's interview continues after you hear from our generous sponsors.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. Call 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock finds good trucks and reconditions them to be ready to work for you and your business. Mike and Jason have repeat customers from all over the country, even Alaska. Call 806-687-1115 to get Mike and Jason working for you. Visit specialtytrucksoflubbock.com and see their inventory. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
I think one of the challenges that all small business owners are facing today is while they may be less than 50 employees, they're still competing with the big box companies that have full-blown benefit plans. Employers are looking for solutions, and my out-of-the-box thinking is providing a solution.
With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. HurleyBenefits.com.
A Texas Aggie from the big country said he visited Dr. Sylvia Zuniga at Dental Care in Costa Rica, spent about $7,000 on the entire trip with his wife, and yet saved over $5,000. He asked, how could it be any better? Our Aggie friend and listener wrote, thank you for recommending Sylvia. Her work and service was what you said it would be. Very good. It took me several months of listening to you and researching on the internet to finally decide to do it. So glad I did. Learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at PrattOnTexas.com.
Now, back to the interview and your host, Mr. Texas, Robert Pratt.
Right, and on the job training develops the actual, what we find, and I've been an employer, and I've worked with these kind of programs, and I remember Margaret Thatcher, you know, all the job training, it was very similar to what Thatcher had done. In fact, they may have copied some of that. Get them in a workplace, because it's that learning to show up every day, learning how to deal with the boss, with customers. It's all these little habits that most of the middle class take for granted, but that they don't realize that there are sectors of society, even people who aren't lazy, who simply have never had any modeling of this in their home. Think about it. No father present, a mother maybe, maybe not, maybe on welfare. We don't know. They've never had the daily skills modeled to get a job. And that's where these kind of programs work better than you know, job training's bull. That's just a whole bunch of people jump in and create halfway fake job training programs, make a lot of money off of it, and the feds pay them for people. I've actually gone in and watched those over the years when we've had those. Real job training is they're working every day. And it does help. It takes a set of people who don't have the skills, and a good many of those people do develop the skills to actually have what we would call a real self-supporting job after a while.
And we're not talking about people going into being CEOs. We're talking about low-level jobs that people take. You know, they may take a few days, but they train them, and then they start doing the work, and they help them as they move along. And I tell you, I used to get so many letters, and I was on television a couple times there in Oregon, and people would call into the show, and they would talk about how they had been on welfare for years. They had lost all their own dignity. Their family didn't trust them anymore.
So
but
bad.
They started in this, and it began working. It began working and said, I've got my self-respect back. I'm making a living. My kids appreciate me again. It made a radical change in their lives.
What was the other third in this Oregon program? We got the people that said, okay, well, the heck with you. If I got to work, I'll just go find a job. You got these folks that get involved in the initiative where employers hire them, and the state is basically picking up the wage as their welfare becomes their wage for workfare. And then what happened to the other third? Were those just chronic welfare dependency people or what?
Those were the drawer cases, and they said, we're going to help you get through over this. We're going to give you child care. We'll provide child care while you go to work. If you've got drug dependency, we're going to give you a few weeks and help you get off that. If you're pregnant, if somebody was pregnant, they said, we'll let you have the baby, and 2 weeks after that, you've got to go to work, because that's the standard in the employment place. So it was a situation of if you're going to get a check, you're going to go to work. You're either going to go to work right now, or we may give you a few weeks if you have an issue, but you're going to go to work. And it was amazing how that helped a number of people get through this, because a number of people on welfare do have challenges, but many do not.
Well, the politics of Oregon are very different today than they were then.
Yes.
And what's interesting is, as I mentioned, Wisconsin, a state that was founded with the socialist motto forward by a lot of, you know, pseudo-intellectual socialists, Tommy Thompson ends up, we're seeing the same thing in Wisconsin again, where it's turning back more conservative, but it's been a very, very left-wing state for a long time. Tommy Thompson, remind us about Tommy Thompson. You mentioned it a little bit earlier, but Governor Thompson really became a star within GOP circles because we could take the absolute obvious abject failure of the Democratic welfare state and juxtapose it to what I would call we purists just soon get rid of it altogether, but in practical application, we'd call it, a smarter government type program. Remind us what Tommy Thompson did.
Well, he imposed these work requirements as well. It was similar to Oregon, but you had to go to work, and you could have some job training and a few other things. But that work requirement, the statement that you're going to go to work, has just a huge effect. And that's what Tommy Thompson initiated. And he got such pushback from the left for that, because they thought this was so cruel. And what happened was his welfare caseload dropped by half. By 1996 or 7, the welfare caseload in Wisconsin had dropped by half. They didn't even have a huge welfare increase during the recession in 1991 and 92. So it was a huge success.
Okay.
And when it was adopted at the federal level, we saw the welfare caseloads drop significantly.
All right. So it was a huge success in the state of Wisconsin. So it's on paper. It's obviously a success. Why did so many Democrats then want to get rid of these changes in the federal, and why did they immediately go to work? Not all of them. There were some that were big fans of this stuff, but Why did the party as a whole go to work at chipping away on these reforms when they were so successful? Because their success isn't cruelty. I mean, it's success in individual people's lives.
Robert, it must be something to do with their philosophy, because they have opposed it. They've wanted to try to weaken the things time and time again. And we've seen this in the last 3 or 4 years, as several states said, we want to try to impose a work requirement on Medicaid. If you're able-bodied, you're just low income and you're getting Medicaid, we want you working. And they've had lots of pushback from the left, and especially now that Biden is in, they just don't want to allow that to happen. They would prefer people getting free money and free benefits rather than having to do something for it, which they think it's an insult to have to require somebody to do something for it when all the rest of us have to work to get our money and to get our benefits and insurance.
It shows the total fraud of their care about people, because it's not free. You mentioned it in explaining the anecdotal experiences you had in Oregon about their program, when people would call in and say, I had lost my self-respect. The Democrats claim to be for people, but what they seem to be for is that loss of self-respect, because I guess that breeds dependency upon government and politicians, which empowers the left, because it seems to be that's what the left wants worldwide. When people don't have to do anything to get it, anything that's a little bit of a stretch, and you know, what's a stretch differs from person to person, but anything that's a little bit of a stretch to obtain, even if it's a benefit, you still can have the sense of I earned that benefit, or I'm doing enough to have, it's sort of like Social Security today. I mean, we paid into it. You say, well, yeah, I'm going to get that, but I paid into it, so I earned it. It's my money. Right. That's a good thing for society. The left seems to see that as a very bad thing for society. And Dr. Matthews, that's rather dark. I mean, that's rather evil is a good word. It just seems as if the attitude is that we don't want people to learn the good habits of work and to have a sense of self-respect. We would rather them be on that dependency role so that we have power from them. I'm sure there are a lot of leftists out there who know that very fully and know exactly what they're doing. But, you know, the useful idiots, the vast majority of them, are they really this blind to not see that that's what they're doing to people?
And it bumps up against the public. Rick Scott, in his piece in the Wall Street Journal and on his website, the senator's website, says a job creates income, independence, and security. The American people want to work. I agree with that. People want to support themselves and their families and be independent, not reliant on government programs. And I think that's absolutely right. I think the vast majority of people would prefer to be independent and not reliant on government programs. But once you get them hooked on the programs, then it's awfully hard to get them off. And that's where the Democrats are able to keep them in that dependency.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it's all about, too, sadly. I mean, because, again, as I don't know how else to put it other than that's extraordinarily dark. All right, Dr. Merrill Matthews, you can learn more about him and get the emails he does and policy bites and everything if you just go to IPI.org. That stands for Institute of Policy, Institute for Policy Innovation.org. And they're Texans, so we really like IPI here at Pratt on Texas. Dr. Matthews, thanks for the extra time for our podcast extra here on Pratt on Texas.
And thank you for having me.
Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.